When Amy Lively decided to invite women in the neighborhood over to her house for an open house, she realized she was going to need to employ the KISS principle. Keep it stupendously simple.
If it's not easy for me, it's not going to be fun for my guest. And so I use paper plates and store-bought food to keep it simple. There are so many things out there to make this easy. The point is not about having the perfect house. The point is not entertaining and being extravagant. The point is to enjoy the people that you're with.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. Amy Lively joins us today to explain how her house became the neighborhood cafe and how God has used that in the lives of many of her neighbors. Stay tuned. Welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. As you look back on your marriage, I'm going to ask you to give a score here. All right. Scale of 1 to 10.
10.
I'm not asking about your marriage. I have a particular subject I'm going to ask you
about. How would
you
rate yours, Bob?
Mine depends on which day you're asking. But what I'm asking about in particular today is the whole issue of hospitality and getting to know your neighbors and evangelism in the neighborhood.
Did you get a call from one of our neighbors?
Scale of 1 to 10.
You tried to humiliate me again here on Family Life Today.
10 means you feel like you've done an exemplary job in that area. 1 means nobody should follow your example. Where would you be?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. This is not a strength.
Okay. We're
this
zero.
Is not a
we're
strength.
We're a zero at our house.
You're zero.
We're a zero. This has been, not a strength. I mean, this has been an area.
We're on the south side of 5.
Yeah.
Okay. We've done some things, okay? But this is not a strength. Now, some of it has to do with where we live. We live in the country, so we don't quite have the same kind of neighbors that you'd have in a quote-unquote neighborhood.
You're not talking about the quality of the people. You're talking about the distance between houses.
That's what I would be talking about, in case they're listening to this, right. to this broadcast. But here's what I remember growing up. My mom and our neighbors were very good friends. I mean, there were the usual skirmishes between neighbors that you'd have. You know, something would happen, like I'd be climbing one of their trees and break a limb or something, and that wouldn't go down real well. But
right. But
she would go borrow butter, sugar,
yep.
flour,
yep.
bread, eggs, and vice versa.
Yeah, in our neighborhood, the Novotnys and the Larsons and the Crosbys and the Lapines used to get together probably once a month for Bridge Club, I think. So the neighbors got together. I don't know that they had anything in common other than property lines that were right next to one another.
Yeah, and today there's been surveys done, and about a third of us don't know anything about our neighbors.
Right.
We don't know them personally. And frankly, almost a third of us say we'd like to get to know our neighbors better. Well, we've got a resource for you today, a personal resource. This is a woman who has a passion for helping people be more hospitable. So she's dealing with a zero and somebody on the south side of 5.
I was a -2, so
okay.
We're in good company here.
Good.
Amy Lively joins us on Family Life Today. She is the creator of the Neighborhood Cafe. She and her husband, David, have been married for 23 years. They live in Lancaster, Ohio, along with their daughter, Emma. And I have to ask you about this. You say you have one holy dog and one unsaintly cat.
Well, if anybody has a dog and a cat family, you know that's how it usually goes.
I'm just wondering what a holy dog looks
the
like.
The dog is a golden retriever. She's the sweetest thing. And she was a holy dog because when I first started reading my Bible and thinking out loud of what God was doing in my life, she was the only one who ever heard it. And so she was the holy dog because I was sitting there preaching to her on the sofa and no one else was ever around.
And the unsaintly cat lives outside. She kind of runs around the neighborhood. Is that
picture? Makes himself at home and picks on the dog.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you've invented this this concept of the neighborhood cafe. Explain what that looks like.
The neighborhood cafe started in my own living room with my own neighbors, and we don't have a neighborhood cafe. We don't have that gathering spot where people run into each other and sit down and have a conversation. We don't have a park. I don't have a toddler. When my daughter was young, it was easy to meet people. But as she got older, it just wasn't happening naturally in my neighborhood. And so I had heard the words neighborhood Bible study. And I thought, well, that's great. That's what I'll do. I'll have my neighbors over for a neighborhood Bible study. But there was a problem. I didn't know them. I didn't know the people just right around me. I knew a couple of them who had kids the same age. I didn't know the people whose property touched mine. I didn't know the people up and down my street. And I wrestled with God for a long time over that
idea. How long?
Idea.
How long?
8 months, probably.
Yeah.
Of just saying, you know, I think it was the pizza I ate the night before. This is really crazy. They're going to think I'm nuts. I had every excuse in the book that was really just a disguise for my fears, because I was very afraid to do it. I was afraid of rejection. I was afraid of taking the time. I was afraid of being humiliated, being put on the spot with, you know, hard questions about life and faith. I was very afraid.
I've got some neighbors who live not next door, but they're about a half mile down the street. Again, it's a country neighborhood, mm-hmm. So technically they're in the neighborhood, but they're a long ways away. They moved in there about 2.5 years ago, and we have walked by their house on numerous occasions. Now, one of the reasons is they've got a dog that looks like it'd like to bury you if you engage.
I take dog treats when I go out in my neighborhood.
Well, you know, that might not be a bad idea, but we still haven't engaged. Yeah. And I really feel guilty.
And embarrassed, too.
Yeah, and embarrassed, ashamed that— You know, maybe I'm closer to Bob and Marianne Zero when I care to admit.
We have brand new next door neighbors, and one of these days we're going to go introduce ourselves to them. I mean, they're just, they are brand new, but as they were moving in, I'm thinking, we got to go knock on the door and take some banana bread or do something. You know,
well, we're busy.
Yeah,
we are. You know, we're really busy.
Yeah, you're never going to have time.
That's right.
You're never going to have a clear day on your calendar. Your house is never going to be clean enough. You're never going to have all the answers. But you just have to do it. That's what I decided to do. I called it the Rosewood Cafe because we lived on Rosewood Drive, and I invited 89 of my neighbors over for coffee.
So you just kind of deep end of the pool.
I did. And you know what I found when you're starting something new like that?
89? Did you say 89?
Yeah, I made 90 invitations and I gave one to my grandma.
Do you have a big house?
We do have a big house and we do have a big neighborhood, but you have to cast a pretty wide net when you start something new like that. And the first time we got together, about 18 women came and it was a good time. I have an open house like that a couple of times a year now. And every time I'll meet one or two new women, and you have to invite a lot more than you want to come.
Right.
You do.
So take me back to that night when you were walking through the neighborhood and putting the envelopes in people's mailboxes.
That is what I did the first time. I had an invitation that I printed up, invited my neighbors over, and I attached a little bag of coffee to it because it's nice to go up to their door with a gift in hand. It opens the door to a conversation as well.
Did you do it after dark and dress in black?
Yeah, with face paint on too. The first time I did put them on the mailboxes, and now I do try to go door to door. I mean, sometimes I don't have the time with the size of our neighborhood to meet people individually, but that's really where the connection happens. And I do have to knock on their door and say, hi, my name is Amy, and I live right over there. I've been here for 7, 8, 10 years now, and I'm very sorry I don't know you. I should know you, but I don't. And I would just like to create some community in our neighborhood, and I'm having everyone over for coffee and dessert, and I really hope you can come.
That sounds like a warm... I mean, if somebody came to my door and did that, I'd kind of feel like... Yeah, we ought to go and just meet these people.
You know, without fail, people have been so gracious. And they say, you know what, I don't know my neighbors either. And I would love to do that. And that doesn't mean they'll come. But, you know, one of the things that I've developed in the kit is a place to write down all of their names and their dog's name and their hobby and the things that you share, because you forget it when you get home. But I just try to keep track of that information so the next time I see them, I can remember something about them and start those conversations.
That morning, that first mm-hmm. morning when everybody hadn't arrived yet, were you just going crazy?
I was panicked. Yeah. I had two problems. What if everyone came?
Right. All 90 of them.
And what if no one came?
Right.
Was it an RSVP, though?
I don't do an RSVP because I want people to have the freedom to come at the last minute. And I want it to be very low pressure. Just, you know, just please come. And besides, RSVP is a lost art. People just don't do it.
Pretty much ignored.
Yeah.
So you were ready for coffee for 90 and dessert for 90 if they all showed up?
I knew they were not all going to show up. But one of the things I thought was, if everybody comes, I'm going to run out of coffee mugs. And so I put on the invitation, I'll brew the beans if you'll bring a mug. And they showed up clutching their mugs at my door. Hmm. And I have used that on every invitation since, and all the neighborhood cafes around the country now use that, because bringing a little bit of comfort from their own kitchen, it gives them the courage. It's an icebreaker, an instant conversation starter, and women love to have a purpose and something to participate.
Barbara has done a neighborhood ornament exchange.
It's beautiful.
That's a great way to do it as well. And it is interesting how you can take a group of strangers and they instantly gel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do share something in common.
You have probably more in common with your neighbors than some of the people in your own family, because you have all chosen to come to the same area. Your homes are about the same value, probably in about the same condition. You probably are in about the same life stage of kids and job and career. It's very different than a church gathering, where a church people can examine the church and study the doctrine and the style of worship and decide to come there. So in church, you know, everyone is kind of on the same spiritual page. In your neighborhood, though, you have all of these demographic factors in common, but you don't know where they are in faith. So having a neighborhood faith gathering is a little different.
I think people are isolated and lonely today, and I think they're waiting for someone to hang a little bag of coffee and an invitation to bring your own mug and have somebody say, I'll brew the beans if you come. Did you find that they arrived really wanting to talk and really glad somebody had kind of crossed the property line, so to speak?
Absolutely. We are just, all of us in every neighborhood, just desperate for that friendship. Do you know women spend 20 minutes a day on Facebook? And that doesn't seem like a lot when you do just 90 seconds here or there. That adds up to over 3 weeks at a full-time job. I really think, though, that these social networks, they're a symptom of our need for these face-to-face relationships. There is an epidemic of loneliness. I mean, doctors and nurses call it an epidemic. Loneliness affects us physically and our ability to recover from sickness, in our ability to heal. It affects our genetics. And do you remember the song, I'm So Lonesome, I Could Cry?
Don't mention songs.
Did you hear?
See, this is what happens.
Yeah.
You didn't realize. Yeah. You don't listen to Family Life Today often, do you?
Well,
we found.
See, this is what happens.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you're an ambassador.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
Why you're good at
you
hospitality.
Know, I had a Raggedy Ann and Andy record player when I was a kid, and yeah. I had my dad's old 45s, and I had that little record, and I would write down the lyrics, and it just broke my heart. That song was so sad. But, you know, at that time, when that song was written, less than 10% of homes had only one person living in them. But by 2010, that number had gone up 250%.
Wow.
And one in four of the homes on your street is one person living alone. And it can be very, very lonely.
In that first gathering, folks come and bringing their mugs, did you have a program plan?
No,
did you,
no.
Everybody just visited?
It's an open house. Now, yeah, I love those home shows on TV where you get to go house hunting, and I love to go to open houses in my neighborhood and in my town just to see what people's lives are like. But why wait until you're moving out to have an open house?
Right.
Do it while you're still there. And I just do, it's an old-fashioned concept. People used to do it all the time, especially around the holidays. An open house, I have it for about 90 minutes. I serve refreshments, and there is no agenda. There is no Bible study. There is no scripture reading. There may not even be a prayer, because I want it to just be very open, and I don't want it to be awkward for people. I never hide the fact that I'm going to invite them to come back for a devotional. But I also want to have this time, and I tell people when I invite them, regardless of your desire or your ability to be a part of us ongoing, just come and meet the neighbors.
So this is an entree for you, this first event.
The open house is the entree, absolutely.
And what you're hoping is that some of those who come will come back for something more.
And they do.
Have you found a certain percentage out of, if you invite 100,
mm-hmm.
can you expect 20, 25?
15 to 20.
15 to 20.
Yeah, if you invite 100.
So about 20% max. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it depends on how well you know them already. It depends on how you invite them. If you do the mailbox stuffing like I did, and I should clarify, you can't put anything in the mailbox. That is a federal offense, but you can hang it on the mailbox or on the door, or if you do a personal invitation.
I'm just thinking I violated the federal law.
I was too.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
If the feds want to call me, I know where Bob lives. Yeah. I just was very careful what I admitted to, Bob.
Yeah, but I know where you live. We'll put you under oath. So the women who came, coming from all different backgrounds, mm-hmm. a lot of them no spiritual lights on in their lives?
Definitely. We represent, over the course of the years that I've had this in the home, probably 20 local churches in my area, and then many of no church background at all and no interest in that at all.
And when you say to these women at the open house, mm-hmm. do you kind of get their everybody's attention and say, hey, I just want to let you know, 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing this?
Absolutely. At some point in the open house, people will be sitting around drinking coffee and making connections with the other women there. And that's a good time to just say, okay, thank you all for coming. I'm just so glad to have met you and have you in my home. And we drive by each other's places all the time. You know, women are dying to see inside your house. Right. They really are. I'm so thrilled to meet you face to face. I have a guest list where I try to get their information so we can stay connected. And I just say, you know, I've had so much fun doing this that I'd like to continue. And I'd like to invite you back every other week in my case. Women can decide what works for them. And I give them a little card, a reminder card, that has the dates and the times that we'll continue to meet again. And of the women who come to the open house, some will continue to come back, some will not. I usually run my gatherings from January.